Welcome to season one, episode three of Interior Creature in Communion. I am Jacqueline Michelle, and I am so honored that you're here. This week, we have got some all caps major movement happening in the cosmos. Saturn is officially leaving the sign of Aquarius, where it's been since roughly December of 2020, and moving into Pisces today, March 7th of 2023. So I thought it made sense to bring in Sunita. She's at Success in Spirit on Instagram and the host of the Cosmic Alarm Clock podcast on YouTube because she felt like the perfect person to talk to about what this transit means for folks with their natal Saturn in Aquarius who are maybe closing out their Saturn return, for folks who have their natal Saturn in Pisces who are about to embark on their Saturn return, as well as what it means for the rest of us in the collective. So let's drop into our conversation right after I ask Sunita to introduce herself and share a bit about her personal journey with astrology and human design.
Yes. Hi, Jacqueline. I'm excited to be on your podcast. So my name is Sunita and I'm the owner of Success in Spirit, which is a business that I started last year. And my journey in astrology and human design. So I have been in astrology for forever. I have been in formal mentorship in Western astrology for about 7 years and absolutely love it. And people ask me, what's my journey? What's your story? And it's like, I don't have one. I found it. And in my chart, I'm an astrologer. It's literalness of events and its ability to predict what was going to happen in my life in a mind-blowing way was just fascinating, and I never looked back. And my prior background should give you some explanation on that. So my background is in engineering. I have a degree in very, very conditioned background. I have a degree in operations research and industrial engineering from an Ivy League school. I was the youngest person in a top-tier MBA program. I used to be a Big Five consultant. And I've spent the last 20 years either being a marketing exec, running some type of digital online business as an entrepreneur, or some combination thereof. So I've been in business for about 25 years. And so that is kind of the frame with which I came into astrology and human design. And I have a little bit of a pattern. I have gate four. I am a Virgo. And so I think the patterns of astrology just fascinated me. The literalness of its ability to predict not just personality, but timing. I got obsessed with progressions and transits and I never looked back, and that was about 7 years ago. And since then I've just had a series of events that have allowed me to test every single one of those, every transit, every outer planet transit you can imagine, every outer, and then I got interested in mundane astrology, which is how it affects the collective. And that's what caused me to start my podcast, Cosmic Alarm Clock Podcast, which I've had for about a year now, which talks about the bigger events. I have a friend who's a manifester, so she's always ahead of the game. And she introduced me to human design about 3 to 4 years ago. And I hemmed and hawed at it. I knew nothing about it. And then my actual formal introduction was through Jacqueline. Jacqueline was my first introduction to human design reader. And then I never looked back. And I actually took a course with Jacqueline, a very semi-private, let's call it, internship.
It was intimate.
Over a period of 5 months.
Yeah.
Intimate. And if you know about Jacqueline, she knows her stuff. And so that's who I chose to learn from. And I've been learning on my own since. But what really interested me about human design was its application to the business world. And so that's how I use human design, its ability to manage energy, to trust your own judgment, to leverage strategic partnerships, and to make decisions. I think that if you can learn how to do that in entrepreneurship, whatever system you choose, it is powerful.
Yeah.
So,
and the reason
so that's been my journey.
Yeah. The reason I wanted to bring you on today, though, was to talk about like the mundane aspects of astrology, as well as like the personal kind of aspects. Because the two things I know we've talked about before, just in our personal conversations, is the way you can look at your progressions, your natal placements, et cetera, the transits, the aspects, all those things, and really get a clear map of what is going to happen to you and when the energy is going to be right for certain things and a little bit tricky or sticky for other things. And one of the right. major transits that's happening for the collective, literally this week, today, the day the podcast comes out today, well, we'll say today, even though it's not today, is March 7th, which is the date that Saturn is moving from Aquarius into Pisces, kind of major yeah. Energy shift for people who have their natal Saturn in Aquarius or in Pisces, but also for the collective. So what I thought we could do is kind of start off by just talking about Saturn, because I know there's some misperceptions. There's some, you know, there's the mythological aspect of Saturn. There's the, you know, so let's talk about, I would love to hear your take on Saturn as a planet. And then we can talk maybe about Saturn in terms of like the Saturn return and what that's kind of symbolic of. So yeah, I'd love to hear your take about what, how would you describe Saturn to someone?
I would describe Saturn as your inner boss. So regardless of whether or not you're self-employed, whatever you choose to do for a living, it is your inner authority. It is your guiding force. I guess in human design, you call it the G center. It is your alignment of your values. And is also your personal teacher. Wherever Saturn is moving through your chart, at least in astrology, we consider you're having a Saturn transit, regardless of a Saturn return, because whatever area of life it's moving through, you're going to get schooled.
Yeah. I love that.
You know,
it's so funny. I had an astrologer years ago tell me that, like, it's almost like we made a pinky promise with Saturn before we incarnated to hold us accountable for something. And that, like, so that inner boss is like a really perfect analogy. She was like, it's almost like you told Saturn, here's this one thing that when I come back, like, hold me accountable for doing it, for refining it, for getting really good at it. And if you don't, I'm going to shake things up, make you uncomfortable, make parts of that parts of your life unstable, so that you're forced to kind of like reckon with it. Like in human design, we talk about the body using discomfort as a language to kind of speak to us, to shake us out of complacency and get us to like start looking at something a new way. Saturn being that inner boss, that kind of inner alignment. Absolutely. And I love that you mentioned values as well, because I know and I'm interested to hear astrology's take on this too. In human design, we look at Venus as being like, almost like through our interpersonal relationships, we're figuring out what our values are. And then Jupiter helps us like codify them into our personal kind of code of conduct. And then Saturn holds us accountable for that code of conduct. So does it similar or different? How does it kind of vibe with what's astrology's take on like on Saturn and Jupiter, or even like Venus, Saturn, Jupiter's connection?
I would say that is one area where there is a deviance. Jupiter and Venus's and Saturn's role in human design are quite different in astrology. Venus, and again, it's going to depend on your placement, because if you've got these fixed signs, they're going to feel similar to you, right? Like I have Saturn and Venus both in Leo, which is a fixed sign. So they're all in one and the same for me. But Venus in astrology is going to be love, relationships, how you relate to others, how you magnetize resources inclusive of money into your life. Jupiter is going to be your higher belief systems, the law, again, where it is in your chart, but it relates to the law, higher learning, your higher belief structures, you as a spiritual teacher. And then Saturn is going to be your teacher, your interdisciplinarian. If there was one planet that represented values in Western astrology, I would say it is Saturn versus those three. Mm-hmm. Again, if you have them all fixed signs, you're going to feel that in all of that, right? Because it is Jupiter's the law. What is your inner law? Mm-hmm. But one thing that I think that may be interesting for people to visualize about Saturn is the last of the planets that can be seen without a telescope. Mm-hmm. So Saturn is the last of the visible planets. And so if you think about Saturn representing our space-time reality, if you think your inner planets representing your personality, your Mercury, your Venus, your sun, moon, et cetera, then, you know, as you get further out, you have less control. I know we all like to think we have control. We all have control. Western astrology is free will, and our human design is as well, within reason. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as you move out, there's collective forces that kind of act upon society and you, which is what we're going to talk about today. But Saturn is that boundary of like, okay, this is what I want to do. These are the outside things that are going to help me, but you've got full control over your Saturn. Saturn in Vedic astrology, which I feel comfortable speaking to being Indian, is a little bit more of a karmic. Mm-hmm. And Saturn in Western astrology, I would say, is more of a cause and effect.
It's so interesting too. Like, I love that you mentioned also the fact that we can still see Saturn visibly in the sky. I cannot tell you how many funny Facebook posts I saw with the Venus Jupiter conjunction the other night. And people were like, oh my God, what are these lights? Is it the aliens? And I'm like, no, that's Venus and Jupiter. Like that's just, we can see them. Like that's anyway. But I love that you kind of made the distinction too, between the inner planets, the outer planets, the role that they have. Cause you're right. Saturn kind of does like, almost like straddle the fence a little bit between like the personal and the collective. Like we feel it kind of both absolutely in our charts. So yes. I would love to talk a little bit too about just like Saturn's progression over the past few years. So when I opened my business personally, Saturn was sitting in Capricorn. And I know I've shared this with you. The big theme for almost everyone that I saw for the first few years my business was open was career and purpose. Because Saturn and Capricorn, we know Capricorn governs like rules and regulations and kind of like formalities and things like that. I mean, obviously it's a lot bigger than that, but a lot of folks were pushing back against systems and structures. Like, have I structured my life in the right way? Am I headed toward the right purpose? Am I doing it right? Like, that seemed to be like the big theme folks were coming to me for. And then flash forward, Saturn moves into Aquarius in 2020. And all of a sudden people are like, family, relationships, society, what is my role in something bigger? So I would love for you to kind of speak to like, what have you noticed kind of collectively, I guess, in terms of like, even just like Saturn and Capricorn, Saturn and Aquarius, like what's our just past like 6 to 7 years story with Saturn been so far?
Yeah. So it's interesting perspective because you've been in business that long and seen clients and their journeys, in which I was in astrology, you know, like a mentorship at that time, but not seeing clients. And so just to give a little context, Saturn rules two signs in astrology. It rules Capricorn and it rules Aquarius. So mm-hmm. I think for context, what we want now, and some people say, you know, Uranus is the modern ruler.
Most, I do both here. We look at both of them here. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both, but traditionally Saturn is the ruler of Aquarius. So let's just take a step back and realize that since basically winter solstice of 2017, Saturn has been extremely strong, right? So already uh-huh. a boss planet that rules authority has been in its home sign. So this event is, you know, today when we're speaking, which is even more magnified because it's the full moon, which just brings oomph to everything, within an hour of Saturn moving into Pisces is the full moon actually, is the fact that it's not going to be in its home sign again for like a very long time, right? So let's just realize that. That makes it a big deal. Now, like going back to Capricorn.
Volume, right? It's like turn the volume way right? up on this. Yeah.
Way up. And so Capricorn is a cardinal sign. It's an earth sign, practical. It's associated with business. Saturn is already always associated with business also in your chart. If you're a boss, you have a prominent, you're going to be more likely to be a CEO or a manager type, but you're an inner boss. And so cardinal sign, initiating, building, right? Building career, building a business. So it's interesting that those are the kind of clients you would have been seeing at that time. I personally started a business. I own a supplement line called Nourish Labs. It's on nourishnutrition.com. It's completely different than human design. It's very science-based. I have a background in functional medicine as well as business. And the first day that was for sale, I think was December 17th, 2017. I didn't plan that. That was this cardinal start of some health business I'm going to have, whatever I have, right? So, and it was the building of that. I personally was having outer planet transit or two. So I was living in a tent out in California doing some weird things. I wasn't building much during that time. We were building things. We were starting things. And in your life, again, I'm going to try to turn off the lens of business because I know that your clients are all over, but you might've been initiating something in your life, in career or in business at that time.
I think I was still feeling the ripples from my own Saturn return. Like my Saturn return ended in 2014. And so it's funny, I felt like during it, I everything got shook up and disturbed, but I didn't learn the lesson until like a couple years after. I'm like, this is still really uncomfortable. I really need to start making some shifts. So it was around 2017 where I basically was like, we got to put a plan in place. Like that kind of Capricorn energy of like, what are the rules? What's the structure going to be? What's the plan going to be? We need to actually start taking action. So it kind of was a little bit of a catalyst for me there as well. And then what about—
Yeah. And you might want to look back at what house it was transiting in, because that might have even, if it was transiting your second house of money and foundation or your 10th house of career mm-hmm. or your 8th house of the occult, it might have had a bigger impact on you. Yeah. So me and Jacqueline are slightly different in age. I'm 45. So I'm actually closer to my Chiron return and I just finished a Uranus transit. So I'm well past the Saturn return.
I'm turning 40 next week. So we're on the other, very much on the other side. I always joke. It's like, I'm on the slide down to Chiron rather than the climbing up from the Saturn. But so we had Saturn in Capricorn, right? So that kind of culminated December 17th, 2020, because we had a little bit of a retrograde period. And so Saturn kind of dipped into Aquarius, like right after, the big kind of shift we all experienced the past few years with the pandemic. So March 21st of 2020 is when Saturn kind of dipped its toe into Aquarius, retrograded back into Capricorn for a bit. And then December 17th, finally kind of like of 2020, like firmly kind of was like, we are now in Aquarius. So like, talk to me a little bit about Saturn in Aquarius. Like this is, I know in terms of my clients, we've really shifted from, I don't know, just like purpose. Am I doing it right? to, am I doing the thing I'm supposed to be, like, soul wise? I feel like the conversations I've been having over the past few years have been more societal and more also like bigger than just like, what role am I meant to play in like the larger community? So I would love your kind of, how is Saturn in Aquarius for you or for the collective? Like, what's your take on it?
This is fascinating because you spent the last couple of years working with clients and seeing their charts. And I spent the last couple of years being on the outside in, like, living these energies or like looking at them from the collective. So that's fascinating. But one quick thing before I get into that to be aware of, since you mentioned, you know, people could see Saturn in the sky on summer, a winter solstice of 2020, Jupiter and Saturn conjunct in the sky at 0 degrees in Aquarius. And that was that great winter Christmas star in the sky. And that was visible. Yeah. You could see that like a boom at 4 o'clock in the morning where I live, which is Eastern Standard Time Zone and in the Northeast. And with that's too beyond the scope of what we're going to talk about today, but that is really important because Jupiter being in Aries right now, which is the sign of like, who am I? And Jupiter and Chiron conjuncting each other on March 12th, which is happening this week, is a huge game-changing event. That's its own podcast, but the fact that Saturn is moving into Pisces and Jupiter is conjuncting Chiron the same week, it is a throwback to that time. Everything is a go backwards to look forwards in astrology. Mm-hmm. So 0 degrees of Aquarius is important for everyone in their chart. But to answer your question, so one key date that's missing here is in January of 2020, we had the great Jupiter-Pluto conjunction in Capricorn.
Okay.
Which has not happened since the Dark Ages. And I know we want to keep, I'm going to keep us
on
track.
No, that's really important. No, but that's important, right? Like,
yes. And if anyone's interested in all this stuff on Cosmic Alarm Clock, I did a whole thing. We go backwards to go forwards. It was like around Thanksgiving where I go into all this. If you're into historic, it was really bothersome to me during the pandemic. People said astrologers didn't predict it. Yes, they did. If people said that's the breakdown of society, and we all know what happened a few months later. So in March of 2020, we had a massive sudden increase in restriction. That was when Saturn entered Aquarius. So that is what happened. We all know what's happened since then. And we all can feel, regardless of astrology or human design, that those restriction period is lifting. Whatever is the new normal is going to be revealed to us. And the triggers have been put in place. For example, all the gyms and studios around me are now virtual. That's not going to change, but that's not new. Like, that just was a trigger, but now we're just going to live the new life, right? But Saturn moving into Aquarius is tribe. So I think a lot of us in that time were questioning, who is our tribe? What is our community? Who do we want to be part of? Who's part of our future? Aquarius also rules the future. And it was a lot of time for many people who maybe have been living a more conventional life to stop and think. Aquarius is fixed air, right? Where am I constrained in my life?
It was funny that you bring up relationships and that just constrain. Another spike I saw in a lot of clients was the number of divorces or people navigating like long-term partnerships breaking up. And it wasn't necessarily people who had a natal Saturn in Aquarius. A lot of it was just like that ripple in the collective. You know, again, we had this restriction, this kind of like, you know, the way we kind of interacted with each other changing. And I think a lot of people looked at their long-term partnerships and went, wait a minute, I don't know that this is my community. I don't know if this is something that whether it was something that was decided for them by a partner or whether it was something they were deciding. But there was also, I just noticed, again, comparatively, in terms of what people would bring to me, this kind of spike. And so it'd be interesting to see, again, I would love for a social data scientist and an astrologer to get together and do some sort of study to see if there were any sort of correlative, you know, or absolutely. I think it's causal because I'm very, you know, but I understand the way materialist data science wants the numbers and wants the draw, you know, but it was an interesting spike this year. I can't tell you how many folks were navigating some sort of like family or like even just like local community issue in terms of what is my role? Where do I fit? And who do I want to surround myself with?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I think people knew that the world was going to be a different world when this finished. And what is the new world you want to enter into? And what do you want your life to look like? Yeah. It could be as simple as, do you want to spend 2 hours a day commuting? Or do you want to spend that with your child or your spouse? Or do you want to not be with this spouse anymore because you realize after living with them that you hate them or they're not a good fit for you for whatever reason, that you think you're great friends, but not great partners or whatever. What's interesting is that Capricorn is a sign of the hermitude, right? So Capricorn starts us in winter. And when I think of the tarot, I think of that hermit, you know, the traditional, the guy walking in the snow with only his light to, you know, Capricorn is an inner journey. And depending on some, you know, my astrology mentor, you know, when her progressed moon moved into Capricorn, she went off and lived in the woods. And, you know, what's interesting is right when that ended and we went to the sign of community in Aquarius, which is coming together, that is when we all then were forced into our own internal hermitude, forced hermitude, which is a different kind of community. I found a lot of community online during that time.
Same.
You know, some people just, if you didn't seek that out, it could have been very difficult.
No, yeah. And that's another huge thing too, like the nature of our communities, like moving and shifting and changing. I found also a lot of my clients and friends, quite frankly, learn things about their partners also during this time. Like I had a lot of friends who thought they had married feminists, who thought they had married people who really viewed them as an equal. And then during the course of the Saturn in Aquarius, during the course of like, they really noticed that priorities in terms of who does the childcare, whose job is more important, et cetera. Like there were a lot of things that came to the surface that they're like, oh, we need to have a conversation about this because this is not who I thought I, like the theory was different than the practice. And I thought that was a very interesting other kind of just, and again, that's something my clients have all shared. A lot of them have shared with me in terms of like conversations they didn't anticipate having to have, but kind of coming up maybe like, what do we want our communities almost to look like and feel like?
And one of the reasons that Saturn rules Aquarius traditionally, and also because some of the outer planets were just only discovered later, and traditionally it's not done by affiliation. Like, you know, you would think, okay, the future and Uranus, it's not generally how that's done, although I do see the correlation. But Aquarius is the mind and fixed patterns in the mind. So you might have had one belief about how you wanted to be as a spouse or how you wanted to be as a parent, and maybe that shifted. Saturn gets a bad rap because it can be where we get fixed based through childhood or conditioning, which I know that was a big part of the reason I like human design. I would say the biggest area in our astrological chart we're prone to conditioning is our Saturn. Either who we had to be because of family, that's placement, but who you had to be because of your childhood, your family, the world you came into, the body you came into, the gender you came into. Maybe you had an idea of how a mother should be or how children should be raised based on the family you came in. And then you realize, no, I'm a different parent. And that style doesn't work for me. Having dinner on the table at 6 o'clock every day is not going to work for me because I got a Zoom call at 6 p.m. and a spouse who doesn't help me. And, you know, my kids are crazy and I don't actually want another one, even though I thought I did, and all this, you know?
It's funny. There's also an author I follow who she just wrote a book about like being child-free by choice. And that was incubated and birthed during this time. So, and again, her Saturn's not natally in Aquarius either. So how would it be different then? So we're talking a lot about like this collective kind of impact as well. Like, is there a difference between like how someone who has a natal Saturn in Aquarius might experience this energy versus somebody who, if it's just like what we're all kind of feeling as a collective?
Well, just if you had Saturn in Capricorn or Saturn in Aquarius, or if you have Saturn in Pisces, because I had a client I just met with, you're having a return. Mm-hmm. So, right? Because Saturn has a huge orb. Saturn has a 10 degree orb. So pretty much as soon as it entered any of these signs, unless you had, you know, your Saturn way far in, which I guess not past 10 degrees, you're starting to initiate the end of a cycle and the start of a new cycle. In both astrology and human design is one of the biggest life-changing cycles. Again, me being the engineer and kind of anal that I am, I'm not going to say, you know me, I'm like, it really depends on the chart, because it does. And it's just something we say. It totally depends. But if you have a Saturn in any of these placements, or you have a planet in these placements that's in direct angle to any of your natal Saturn, you're triggering your natal Saturn. So you're just going to feel this stronger. Or if like Saturn's your ruling planet, like your Capricorn rising or something like this, right? So I would say that that's, it's so hard, right? Because the person I know is experiencing this really strongly, but he's also having a second Saturn return, which is a big deal. If you think your first Saturn return is a big deal, try doing it the second time around, right? That much more life to have lived.
Oh yeah. For folks who are maybe newer to astrology, Saturn takes about 27 and a half years to move from where it was at that moment of our birth all the way back around the sun, orbit a whole thing, get back to where it was. And so the entire time, I know like different astrologers have different, like, I guess, positions on this. There are some people who are very like adamant, like it's only when it enters that degree of Saturn that that's your exact Saturn return or whatever it is. I tend to be a little bit more, I think energy doesn't adhere to borders and boundaries. I am like you with like, there's a shadow on either side, the orb you called it. There's this like time when Saturn is moving into it, moving out of it. I consider that entire time period your Saturn return. But again, like it's going to have peaks and valleys and highs and lows for different people. So we get one right around, you know, 27, 28, 29 ish, depending on, again, where, like you said, how far in Saturn is for you. But then, we also get another one right before we turn 60. And then if we live long enough, right before we turn 90. So again, it's like in every 30 year, you know, period kind of thing. And so again, it's like this, like almost like recalibration and realignment, like going and getting your brakes adjusted or your, you know, your suspension in your car realigned or whatever it is. It's like this great realignment period.
I would say it's a massive ending and a massive beginning.
There you go.
You know, I think the first Saturn return at 30 or around then, that is a recalibration and a come to, I was about to say something, I'm not going to swear, a come to something,
Oh, come to
begins with a
Jesus
J
moment.
word.
Yeah,
Come to
I'll
Jesus.
say
Yeah, I
it.
don't
Come
know
it's
if
a come
people
to
would,
Jesus
yeah.
moment. Yeah. I'm former Catholic, I can say
When,
it. Yeah.
but for people who are later in life, and I just say that because as someone who's later in life, my clients tend to be later in life. And so it's like, it's all, whatever career or family you might have had from 30 to 60, you are starting over at a time that you're kind of by society being pushed to the side as like the old gal or the old guy. And your wisdom is maybe, you know, that tribe of elders kind of concept needs to come back because you are the wise elder at that point, which I
It's
know
the
in human
crone
design, there are certain
phase.
types that,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yes. And so it can be really difficult for people because they, you know, there's a major ending coming for years prior to the actual event and they don't know. And even after the other side of it, just like a moon, you know, think of a moon as dark for a couple of times. And we have a full moon today when we're speaking or when this is being released, but there's a period of darkness on the other side and you can't see. And so you may not know. So I think, you know, for people who get a reading, human design, astrology, or both around the time of that, it can be really. My client literally, to quote him, was like, I thought I was going crazy. Right. And as soon as he knew what was happening to him, he had just a different way to reframe. Oh, I'm just starting a different chapter and it's going to happen anyway. So I might as well lean in.
Yeah. It can feel very destabilizing if you don't know what's going on. Like I can't tell you how many folks I've talked to over that, and even just knowing like, oh, that was your Saturn return. Like in it that they didn't have that language before. It can be like just comforting to know it has a name, it has a purpose. Like it's a thing everybody goes through. It's kind of a rite of passage. And what you were mentioning a moment ago, like just again for folks who are maybe tuning in who are newer to human design, the sixth line in our human design charts, anytime you have a gate on a sixth line, or if you've got a sixth line in your profile, there's these three kind of parts to that sixth line journey. And the first part of it is birth to 30, birth to our Saturn return. And they say after we go through our Saturn return, we're less in like a trial and error phase. We're more in this kind of reflective phase. And that lasts until our Chiron return, which is traditionally around like what, 47, 48, 49, somewhere in there.
51, 51,
51. There we
49.
go. I always get confused because I know I used Obama as a reference point, and I know his Chiron return happened and like right before or right after he was elected president. So he was like very timely, like on the roof, off the roof, because he's a 6'2" as his profile. But then there's this like wise woman, wise man, wise crone kind of era, which I'm all for bringing crone back as like an honorific. I like that maiden mother triple goddess, like, you know, especially because again, I'm sliding toward 40 next week. So, but anyway, yeah, there's this, it definitely is this like opening of a new chapter, closing of a former one. Talk to me a little bit about the Saturn and Pisces period that's starting like literally the day this is coming out.
Yeah, so it's very exciting because you know it's astrology not in isolation. I know we're here to talk about Saturn and Pisces, but this Jupiter Chiron conjunction that's happening this week, Pluto and Aquarius, which you know that I'm setting an intention to talk with someone about that or be in a panel because that is like game changing.
We want to have a whole separate conversation about what Pluto is doing, because talk about planets that like impact the collective. Pluto's also been sitting in Capricorn, and we had our exact, I think the United States had its exact Pluto return, you know, just recently this year. We know how disruptive and interesting that has been. It's been sitting in gate 60 in human design. Gate 60 is the gate that straddles basically Saturn and Aquarius. It's the last gate of Capricorn, the first gate of Aquarius. And that's been really interesting, the dance that it's doing. So I'll bring you back. We will talk about that. We'll go way in deep into that. But I'm sorry to interrupt you, man. But that's been huge and disruptive and really
It's
fascinating to kind of watch.
exciting.
Yeah.
It's
Pluto's
exciting.
fun.
And in my opinion, if you say that that 0 degree point that I mentioned earlier on December 20th tw of that Jupiter and Saturn meeting at 0 degrees of Aquarius was the start of the age of Aquarius, for many, Jupiter entering Aquarius is the official. I know people are going to debate it. It's a 2000 year process and people will say it started. It's not going to happen for 200 years. So I had all these notes prepared as a true Virgo and then I forgot everything. So I'm going to just go off the cuff with this. But
Do
Saturn and
it.
Pisces, let's just take a moment. We've talked about what Saturn is. Let's talk about what Pisces is, because it's a very
Yes,
different energy.
Pisces
It's a
sun,
very
Pisces moon, Mercury and Pisces. I am big old, yeah, but I would love to hear it from I would love to hear it from you, like your take on Pisces
Virgo
energy.
sun, Mercury in Virgo. So of course we're having
Yeah.
this conversation,
And
right?
my progress move just moved into Virgo as well, which I didn't even know
Yes.
about until you had shared with me. And I was like, once you shared that with me and I went down that rabbit hole, I'm like, that makes 1,000% sense because my natal moon is typically in Pisces. Like it's been such a different energy just since, like, I think it was like November or October of this year. But yeah, let's talk about Pisces. I mean, we're on that oppositional axis from each other, you know, across the wheel
Yeah,
of the
so
zodiac.
in case you meet Jacqueline, you're like, oh, she doesn't come across Pisces. It's because her progress moon's in Virgo and other reasons why that I know about her.
Libra
But
rising, yeah.
Pisces, I'm a Virgo, the opposite sign of Virgo. What is a Virgo? It's detail oriented. It plans. It has, it's going to give a podcast talk, and it's got the notes on the app, although didn't actually pull them up, but that's okay. So
I brought vibes.
Pisces.
I didn't bring prep. I just brought vibes. So we're good. Sorry.
But Pisces is the opposite of that, right? Because astrology is all about polarities. And so Pisces is salt water. Pisces is dissolving. Pisces is not to be, I hate, cookie cutter astrology, but if you know someone who's really artsy and maybe, shows up to the airport without their passport and is like, what? Oh, we were supposed to meet today. Oh, they go with the flow. That's Pisces. And it's very artsy. It's music, music. It's salt water. It's surrender. It's the divine will, not your will. And so Saturn, which is all about, I get up and I do this and I have a plan, and I in Pisces, that's a completely, it is not strong there. Okay. Like if you have Saturn in Pisces, this might be a powerful time for you, but that's not its favorite place to be.
Oh yeah. No, that's why I was laughing when I saw that. I mean, obviously, because we follow the wheel of the zodiac. I'm like, that doesn't seem to be as strong of a I don't think Saturn's probably not like, woohoo, I get to go visit Pisces for 3 years. Like, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it's a long time. And the only reason I brought up the Pluto stuff and all that, and we'll talk about that in a future podcast, is that the context in which this is happening is even more dramatic than it would have been at another time. And if you are, you're listening to this podcast on the 7th or later, but if up until now you've been extremely anxious or extremely tired, it's because not only did we just leave Pisces season and a Pisces moon cycle, we just left a massive ending. Pluto on the 29th degree as we speak. Saturn was on the 29th degree of, so there might have been a lot of anxiety, a lot of exhaustion. If you're like me, this desire to get anything from your old life out, including like just tasks. That's why, because we're really starting a new, I would say it's two cycle today, and it's going to just even become stronger this month and for stuff we'll talk about in the future. There's societal context to that, and there's personal context, but I'll pause there to see if.
What themes should we be looking for, like as Saturn kind of moves into Pisces, especially because Saturn's not comfy in Pisces?
Well, I'll start with the human design angle, which is that alignment, if it wasn't important before, it is extremely important now, because it is surrendering to what you know to be true anyway. There's no fighting it. There's no like Aquarius in your mind. Well, you know what? I kind of could do that job. I could do this. It's Pisces. It's going to dissolve anything that's not in alignment in your life. Saturn is also the, if you think about teacher plus spirit, it's the spiritual guru. It's a spiritual teacher. And ultimately it's coming back to being your own spiritual teacher, which does not mean not getting help from readers or guides or whatever. I think anyone who's into this stuff knows that. But it's about, I would say, a dissolving of maybe a teaching paradigm, a coaching paradigm, a way that we've been using spirituality up until now, and maybe a dissolving of it being so black and white.
I would be looking forward to that personally. I think one
Me
of
too.
my ick factors when I get onto Instagram, when I get onto TikTok, it's just a lot of people claiming their way is the way and they know how to get you from point A to point B to point C, or like there's only one way to do it. And sometimes that way lacks nuance. There isn't one way. And I think that's where the Pisces in me, because Pisces governs my Mercury intellect communication, it's like, yeah, there's a billion ways to do it. Like I personally am someone who studies like all different faith traditions, all terms of like, religious and spiritual text. I'm into channel material. I'm into, like just quantum physics. Like I'm like, what does it all have to share with us? But there's a lot out there that's just very, like you said, black and white. This is the way. And if you don't do it, and I've seen that actually make its way into human design.
No, I, you know, I, we've had offline discussions. You know my feelings on everything. I'm Scorpio rising, my ruling planet's in the eighth. I don't mess around. But I, yeah, I mean, I hate to sound like the old crone, but I'm an elder. right? I'm 45. I've been around the block and I entered marketing before social media. And I do business and human design combined. So I'm, you know, if you're someone who's into the collective, you're always your sponge, you're hearing all the conversations and all the, and in the business community, I see a lot of people who have a marketing background, traditional marketing background like me, who are kind of like, how are people, are coaches and different service-based practitioners and being taught to do marketing is based off of just one coaching model. It's not based off of marketing. And then in the spiritual community, I'm hearing, you know, people with a very deep background in astrology are like, human design isn't astrology. Human design people should know astrology. It's not the same thing. And human design people fighting amongst each other about like, you know, it's more nuanced. No, it's interesting. I think it's a come to Jesus again of, you know, a lot of different systems that maybe have been, you know, we've had one way of doing things that I would love to see an integration. Mm-hmm. You know, my background's in functional medicine, which is a system and very science-based, and I am into metaphysics. And I think that they can work in, because energy is, there are energy components of human design that are not in line with me because they don't really jive from a science-based perspective for me.
Understood.
But you should, what you do in your life and your body and your genes has effect on your energy. So it is stuff we don't know. We can't see like your human design. And why can't they come to the table and have a conversation? And if it's for you, it's for you. And if it's not, it's not. Why does it have to be so siloed?
Yeah. I think with this whole like stepping on the doorstep of the age of Aquarius, like I always use the analogy of like, we've just stepped in the door. We haven't taken our shoes off yet. We've just like stepped in that Aquarius's house. Like we literally haven't even closed the screen door behind us. We're barely inside the door. But like with this age of Aquarius, I see it as being very yes and not either or. And like this, maybe Pisces and Saturn, or Saturn and Pisces rather, is here to kind of usher in that dissolution of boundaries, like you were saying, of like trying to help us think bigger than just siloing things off into their little containers. Like one thing that we're noticing, especially like I've been reading a lot of quantum physics lately and a lot of like quantum theory, and we're finding like, what did the Nobel Prize go to last year? Like quantum entanglement is real. Like that's something that's been theorized for a while and they were able to start proving it, which is like amazing and mind blowing. And I think that's where materialist science and theoretical physics kind of sometimes butt heads, is like, we have the math, but maybe we don't have the data, like in the way that we're used to seeing it, because we're operating on a completely different scale, right? Like we're going from the macro to the micro. But I think, yeah, this yes, and if we're able to start really challenging ourselves to be open to different theories, different practices, which I think is why we're seeing so much constriction still. Like I think for every, what is it, for to keep talking physics, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Like a lot of what we're seeing politically across the country is this constriction right now, this like clinging on to the old ways, this holding on for dear life and not wanting to open the door to something outside of your own experience, something outside of maybe what you've learned before. It's almost like, no, the knowledge is full. What I know is what I know. And I'm not here to open the door to anything else. But I think Aquarius is really going to like, this age of Aquarius is going to push us to, you know, start dissolving hopefully more of that too. Let's be more empathic, more compassionate, more open-minded, more inclusive in that way as well.
Yeah. And you know, like any sign, Aquarius has a shadow. So we're talking more about this when we talk Pluto and Aquarius, but Aquarius is tech dystopia and robots and AI and only people communicating on social media. And then they don't have a conversation with their next door neighbor. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm guilty of this now as well, because I've kind of lost practice. But so, you know, we are going to be in a little bit of a baby steps for a while. This is a long process, probably beyond our lifetimes, to be honest, you know, like, but you know, when Pluto really enters Aquarius in 2024 for good, but you're going to see it. You're going to see it politically. We've seen it with remote work and, you know, you got to come back to the office and people are like, no. And just even that's what I see a lot of, but you know, political, like we're entering a period of feminine energy. Pisces, Venus is exalted in Pisces. So Venus is a feminine energy. The North Node is in Taurus. Uranus is in Taurus, ruled by Venus, earth sign, return to earth values, a return to all feminine energy. And we can see politically, you know, maybe holding on to maybe a time where some of us are like, oh, I thought that was before I was born. We were kind of having these conversations and now we're like back again. And age of Aquarius brought up maybe in the home, how we weren't as forward as we thought when push came to shove about the day-to-day life.
I think a little bit of that too is like Saturn in Aquarius, like one of the first gates it transited was gate 60, the gate of acceptance. And in human design, we look at the gate of acceptance as like, where am I going to be tenacious? Where am I going to fight? Where can I turn an obstacle into an opportunity? Or where is there really a hard and fast stop? Like where are there maybe rules and structures that are in place like for a reason because they like it really is a dead end. And so I think this kind of restructuring and relitigating of things we thought we had litigated before, like it doesn't surprise me that that was a big part of, you know, the past few years and that energy. I thought it made sense to pop in here and talk you through the human design gates governed by both Aquarius and Pisces before we jump into the last part of our conversation. So up on the Karmic Studies blog on interiorcreature.com, you can also find detailed journal prompts that will help you reflect on Saturn's time in Aquarius and preview and get ready for Saturn's time in Pisces. So let's start with Saturn in Aquarius. So the first gate Saturn transited in Aquarius, we just talked about the gate of acceptance, gate 60. Gate 60, again, is also experiencing that really long-term Pluto transit, which definitely brings Sunita back to talk about with us. But remember, gate 60 is all about how do we handle obstacles? How do we handle limitations? Are we able to turn obstacles into opportunities? Or do we just kind of like throw our hands in the air and say, I guess that's just the way it is? And Aquarius was really asking us to look at that socially as a collective in terms of our politics, our laws, how we regulate, how we legislate. And I think that's why we felt some both constriction and expansion in that area over the past few years. We've been litigating and relitigating things that we thought were already settled law. The second gate that Saturn moved into then was gate 41, the gate of contraction. The gate of contraction is interesting. It has a lot to do with emotional manifestation. And through gate 41, we're supposed to figure out what is our dream version of like the world, right? Like what is our ultimate like dream world manifestation, the ultimate fantasy that we are so emotionally invested in. And then gate 41 living in the root center, it's this pressure to like turn fantasy into reality, to extract that dream from the dream world and bring it into our waking life. And again, it will contract areas of our life where we're super out of alignment with that and expand other areas where we are in alignment. So that was an interesting, again, part of that in terms of our social relationships, in terms of how we interrelate with each other at the community level. Then speaking of community, Aquarius moved into gate 19, the gate of wanting. The gate of wanting is all about just basically needs versus wants. I always think back to my time as a first grade teacher. When I was teaching those little ones, a lot of times they would have the language to share what they wanted, but you had to recognize that there was actually a need that wasn't being addressed, that maybe they didn't have the language or development or maturity to actually like articulate clearly yet, right? And so 19 asked us to think about our role as caregivers and caretakers and about how we provide, how we're of service to the people in our community. But it also, again, because Saturn's presence there, is asking us to also think about where we might be pouring from an empty cup, or maybe where we're not allowing ourselves to receive assistance and because we're so focused on giving it. So it's trying to correct that balance and again, make us uncomfortable to see where we might be, you know, satisfying a want but not actually hitting the need, where we might be ignoring our own wants in favor of, you know, supporting other people. It's all about kind of rebalancing those kind of give and take within relationships. Then Aquarius moved into gate 13, the gate of the listener. Am I holding space for other people's stories? Am I allowing people to share with me in my community, my relationships, the larger society, where they've been, why things are the way they are, where their beliefs and ethics and morals and values come from? I always talk about gate 13 as being like this gate of emotional excavation, especially when it's paired with gate 33 and makes the channel of the prodigal. Gate 13 is about like holding space to either be excavated by someone else who really wants to understand like all of the little nooks and crannies and parts and pieces that make you who you are. Almost like an archaeologist will go into an excavation site with their little brush and their little chisel, like looking for the pottery shards, trying to put the vase back together again. Gate 13 is about if we allow people to do that with us, and then are we actually asking the right questions and probing and building that depth of intimacy to do that for someone else within our relationships as well. So we might have noticed places where there was constriction, where maybe we wanted to go deeper and weren't able to with someone, or maybe we realized we didn't want someone in our emotional extra archaeology site during that time. And then to kind of continue that trend and that kind of vibe, gate 49 then got transited. And gate 49 is the gate of principles. 49 is all about who do we hang out with? Like, who is our community? Who do we want to be associated with? Who are our people that we have that loyalty to? That we have that, like, because we know we've got the same ethics, morals, values, the same principles. Like, we want to align ourselves with other principled people and then protect the integrity of that community. So a lot of us saw, especially during this last kind of, you know, part of the orb, as I guess Sunita would talk about it, the part of that like leaving of Aquarius, a lot of us were rearranging and reconfiguring our relationships within our social groups based on maybe things that we thought we knew about the other person and then just like we were talking about earlier in the conversation, when the rubber hit the road, we realized we don't have the same ethics, morals, values, principles. And I don't know if this is someone I want to go to bat for anymore, or, you know, maybe this is someone who they're not going to bat for me anymore. And then finally, gate 30 is the gate of feelings. And it really has to do with emotional investment and wanting to surround ourselves with people and experiences and opportunities that push us and grow us and that we feel a deep emotional resonance with. And I think it's a really beautiful, like, little amuse-bouche to what's going on in Pisces, because Pisces, we know, is super emotional and that nurturer energy. So let's pop back into our conversation, and I want you to hear what Sunita says about just like Saturn's time in Aquarius through the lens of Pisces.
I just think it was us going through all of the feels. It was us being forced into a constricted position to question everything related to the mind and belief structures and tribe, which is what Aquarius basically represent, and technology, the good and bad. I mean, you know, technology was a lifeline for us during this time, but it could also then has now become a crutch as well.
A lot of root center energy we navigated, like, you know, these pressures of 60, 41, 19, all living in the root center, 49 and 30 living in the emotional solar plexus, 13 living in the self center. I mean, those are big energies to navigate, like the root being this pressure filled, like you've got to find it, you have to take action. The solar plexus being like the most powerful center in our chart, and the self just really wanting to like, again, like find common identity, find common community.
Right. And it's good that you mentioned pressure, because Saturn works through pressure. So Saturn rules crystals, which are formed over pressure and time. Mm-hmm. It's crystallization. It's concretization. It's, you know, there's a famous astrologer named Carolyn Casey, and she says, oh no, Saturn's coming, might get something done, you know, because it does force change one way or the other, not in the Uranian way of like sudden change, but over time, things are going to change. And so, yeah, pressure is a big component of that as well.
And it's interesting because then when we move further into Pisces, it's much more emotional, and we don't have that same. We only have one gate that sits in a pressure center, gate 63, the gate of doubt. And that's like doubting yourself. That's like self-reflected. I mean, or it could be, I guess, doubting the rest of the world. But our first kind of the gate Saturn's going to go through first, like literally starting the day this comes out, is the gate of spirit. Gate of spirits in the mm-hmm. solar plexus, gate 55. And it really wants us to find something that we feel super emotionally invested in. One of the things I love about Pisces being like the final sign of the zodiac, it's like some people describe it as like almost like a culmination of all that's kind of come before. Like gate 55 is like, basically you need something you are so emotionally lit up by, you care about so deeply, you are so emotionally invested in, that like is your spirit. It's something that like you can't wait to kind of give your emotional energy to. Have you found it? Like 55 is almost like, what do you like? It's almost like an emotional resonance. Like I care enough about this to give it my energy, my bandwidth, my, you know, my feelings, right? So like that's where we start. And then we go back into community a little bit, because gate 37, the gate of friendship, governs our relationships within our community. Like it's almost like, am I receiving unconditional love? Am I able to show up exactly as I am within my community? Or do I feel pressured to contort myself into something that I'm not in order to receive support and receive love? So it's almost looking at it that like through the lens of authenticity, integrity, how you show up as yourself. So these will be kind of the first two big, I guess, gates, thresholds that this energy kind of passes through.
Well, I do think, you know, gate of spirit, Pisces is spirit. So, and it's crown, and Saturn rules the crown chakra, which I know that the systems are different in human design, but it's the head center and it's what's coming in. And, you know, as you may or may not know, I think you know this, Jacqueline, that my brand started through random channeling on Instagram one day, and it was spirit just came in and came through me. And that's how this happened. I was a closet astrologer for a long time, but I never did it publicly. And, I think Pisces is the dissolving of boundaries in that way. So spirit's going to come through you. You know, Pisces is spirit in everyday life. Pisces is in your dreams. It is in your meditation, in the bath, or, you know, you're watering your plants and all of a sudden spirit's talking to you. I think that is kind of like what gate of spirit. I see that. Mm-hmm. Gate of friendship, I think that speaks a lot more to the Aquarius piece, the tribe piece, which, yeah. You know, I mean, because we still have Pluto entering Aquarius, basically. So you can't, Pluto still wins. It's a slower moving planet, right? So we're going to be very, very soon of the container of Saturn and Pisces within the greater container of Pluto and Aquarius. So as context, we're kind of doing both at the same time, even though we're talking about Saturn today, right? Mm-hmm. Gate of doubt, I think that goes back to what we just talked about, is really questioning the teachers and, you know, what you're seeing on social media, what's real, what you might be seeing in politics, if that's your thing, religion.
Well, first of all, there's like the shadow of it, like turning it in on ourselves, like doubting every principle we have, belief, thought, like, you know, am I qualified? Am I like that? That kind of self-doubt can be the shadow. But it can also be a bit tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist if it goes the opposite direction, where you don't trust anyone around you. Everyone is lying. No one knows what they're talking about. And like, there's a grain of, again, there's a grain of truth about, like, you should have a bit of self-doubt, or you're going to be arrogant, or you should have a bit of like collective doubt, because we're not always being told the truth. But like the gated doubt. So we've got this kind of, again, it's coming in through the head center. It's that pressure. But even with gate 37 before it, like 37 is non-traditional. Like gate 37, that's one of the things that always resonated for me when I read about the gate of friendship, is it doesn't necessarily want family in the way that we're traditionally taught family is supposed to look like. Like, I know here in the West, it's very much this like white picket fence, 9 to 5, 2.5 children, a dog, like, you know, what is the family that we want to build and create? And I think it's also like the dissolving of boundaries around family a little bit too. So I think we did the kind of like, you know, the reorganization of it, the constriction and expansion of it with, you know, Saturn sitting in Aquarius. And now it's like, okay, you've seen what's uncomfortable. You've seen what's not working. Create what does. Like, here's the permission structure to dissolve that. Start creating what does. And then kind of through the end of Saturn sitting in Pisces, you've got gate 22, the gate of openness, which I always say is a sister gate to gate 55. The gate of openness wants to share those emotional experiences with other people. Like when it's actually connected to gate 12, it makes this channel where it connects, again, our emotions to our throat, our ability to speak and communicate. And they always call that like the channel of poets, the channel of like songwriters. Like I always think of like the romantic epic poets who could just like take that emotion that's really indescribable, and then they describe it and you read it and you're like, that's how I felt. Like, you know, it's that kind of bringing like voice to our innermost feelings. Yeah. And then we move into the gate of crisis, which is that's where my incarnation cross lives personally. It's a gate I know a lot about. It's all about emotional risk taking. And like whether just because something is emotionally intense, does it actually mean it's emotionally worthwhile? And like, where are we allowing ourselves to kind of like, I guess, yeah, take emotional risks and go big or go home, or I don't know. So it's going to be an interesting roller coaster because it's like very emotionally situated. And then gate of the spirit of the self, like our final gate, which will kind of Saturn will sit in right when we transit out of Pisces into Saturn and Aries, which we're not going to talk about today because that again could be a whole other podcast. It's all about meeting people where they are and like generosity of spirit and like extending that to yourself as well. So there's a lot of beautiful lessons, I think, for the collective and personally for the Saturn and Pisces period.
I have gate of friendship as my incarnation cross.
That's right.
So, you know, I'm very Aquarian. My north node is in the 11th house, which kind of is associated with Aquarius and astrology. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm building this business, it's going to be based on a tribe of people who are progressive, who are business owners, who want to do stuff differently and aren't afraid of someone who maybe says certain things, right? Because mm-hmm. that's what the kind of tribe I feel comfortable in, right? Mm-hmm. I don't even think we know I think 2023 is going to be a game changing year. So even to look at the latter gates, I'd be making stuff up because I have mm-hmm. no idea where we're going to be in a year and a half from a societal perspective. One thing I did want to bring up is that, for those people who are listening to this, who may be spiritual business owners or have a spiritual practice or do work in the spiritual realms, I think this is an amazing time to step into your inner Saturn and your inner CEO or business person. Traditionally, people who have a lot of Piscean in them, and I'm not going to say Pisces because that's we don't do sun sign nonsense here. They tend to be very empathic and they tend to sometimes not have boundaries in a positive way. They can take in a lot of and you know, as we know with human design, there's the open centers also can magnify that. And so I just speak because this happened and I don't think I believe in coincidences. Yesterday I was on a lunar circle. I'm with a group of women. We meet every month at the moon, around the moon, and a lot of, you know, empathic women in that group. And, you know, some of them had breakthroughs in the last week where they just woke up and they're like, F the way the world is built for lawyers and accountants. I deserve a seat at the table. I'm going to start that business. I just got full body chills. I'm going to start that business I never thought I could do. And, you know, I'm a spiritualist, but I come across businessy because I'm not afraid to be at the table, right? But a lot of people don't feel they have a voice. And I've seen a lot of people who have a little bit of a Saturn in them now to say, you know, Piscean people deserve a place at the table. It's okay to be empathic. It's okay to have feelings. And I think that that's something that we're going to see a lot of as well, which is positive.
I was just thinking about your son being in gate 40 in Virgo. Like, that's so like provider energy. Like, you don't need to go it alone. Like, you can step up and like take care of what you need to take care of. Like, that's the other thing to think about too. Like, every single one of these gates has a programming partner across the, like, directly across that axis. And so 37 and 40 always travel together. If your sun is in 40, your natal earth is going to be in 37 and vice versa. And like, there's always that balance, that yin and yang of energy, of like 37 being soft and receptive, but 40 being this provider and like this caretaker, and like having the chutzpah to be like, no, we're taking action. We're stepping up. It lives in the heart center. So it'd be interesting, I think, for folks with the Saturn in Pisces, as you're kind of going through these transits, like, take a peek across the wheel, look at what it partners with in Virgo, because that might be kind of the other end of that energy that would be useful. I think it'd be worthwhile exploring as well.
That's it for this week's episode. Thank you again to Sunita for joining me and sitting with me in communion to talk about Saturn. If you want to connect with Sunita and support her work, check out the links in the show notes. And if you're interested in diving even deeper into what the Saturn transit means for you, I would love to connect with you as well. So head on over to interiorcreature.com and look at the menu bar at the top of the page. If you're interested in shining a spotlight on your natal chart and understanding the finer points of your soul's contract for this lifetime, click on the Book a Reading link. That'll open a page that explains all the different levels of readings that I offer, so you can determine which one meets you where you are in your human design journey. And if you've been self-studying for a while and you're interested in taking all the epiphanies you've had about your energetics and starting to deeply embody the highest, most compassionate, expansive expression of your energy, you're invited to join me in the Karmic Studies Elevator. So go ahead and click on the link on that menu bar that says Karmic Studies Elevator for more information. Thank you so much for joining me in communion, and I cannot wait to nerd out with you again next week. We'll be right back.